Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now, your ideas don't have to wait. Now, they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to Now.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to brand new on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Tech Stuff. My name is Chris Paulette, and I am an editor at HowStuffWorks.com. Sitting across from me, as is typical, is senior writer Jonathan Strickland.
Hey there!
I'm sorry, I was catching up on my chef bill. I needed to make some focaccia.
I was actually asking people to come over and water my plants. Virtually. So you may have already guessed today's topic is a quick look, because it hasn't been that old, a quick look at the history of Zynga. And Zynga is a company that has made a big name for itself, not always in a positive way, online. And if you don't know what Zynga is, it's a company that's based out of San Francisco, California, mm-hmm. as many tech companies are. And it is a video game company, but it's a game company that typically produces games that are either meant to go on mobile devices, so smartphones and tablets, or they're meant to exist on another platform like Facebook or Google Plus. Although you can also go to the Zynga.com homepage and play games within widgets.
Yeah. And, if you weren't sitting from where we were, as soon as Jonathan said that this episode was going to be about Zynga, you probably didn't hear the groans of many of our listeners. We heard you. It's yeah. Okay.
It was
Hold
a,
on.
It was like a thousand voices cried out in anguish and then were suddenly silenced.
Yeah. Zynga is a company that has acquired a following and a big group of people who have pitchforks and torches both. There seem to be a few people in the middle of that, but not really. We'll get into that in just a minute, but it does have quite a large group of people who really pick on Zynga because of its business practices.
Right.
So some people really love the games, and some of the games I don't really consider games because there's really no ending to them. They're sort of software toys, but they do make some games and things, and they had quite a huge following even just a short time ago.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting story because as Jonathan pointed out, it has been a very short time. I mean, they went from sort of nobodies in the industry competing with some of the biggest players like Electronic Arts.
Right.
To, you know, darlings of the computer industry and sort of toward back again. They're not quite back again, but they're,
right, they're
approaching it.
They're hurting right
as,
now.
As of the time we're recording this, as in October 2012.
Yes. And we'll get more into all of that. So this is a company that was founded by a fellow named Mark Jonathan Pincus, mm-hmm. who founded Zynga right around 2007.
Yeah.
And Pincus had been working, well, he held several jobs, which in an interesting article we read on VentureBeat, which it was a, what was it, a 12-page article about the history of Zynga?
Oh, that's an amazing article. I would totally recommend people going to check this out, if, because we can't cover the same amount of material, and it actually ends before we wanted to end, too. So, but a lot of our research, it's a very well-written article, and we use a lot of our research
yes.
on the, on this.
It was written by Dean Takahashi.
Ah, yes.
For VentureBeat, and also has been converted into a 63-page ebook on Amazon's Kindle bookstore. So, it's a very deep look at the history of Zynga. Now, we should say this was written in 2011, and a lot has happened since then.
Yeah.
But in that article, they mention how Pincus had said he had essentially been fired or asked to leave every job he held earlier on in his career, and then came to the conclusion that what he needed to become was an entrepreneur. So working for himself rather than working for someone else who would eventually tell him to go away.
Well,
these are not my, well,
no, no,
that
no.
was my paraphrasing of what he said, but these were his words, and he was probably being somewhat facetious.
Oh, sure.
But essentially what he was saying is that he has this desire to create businesses, and so he left the corporate world,
yeah.
not struck out as in whiffed it, and then started to launch businesses. And several of them saw some early success. He launched companies like Freeloader Incorporated. He launched a very, very early social network called Tribe Networks, mm-hmm. which did not ultimately go anywhere, right? I mean, it was one of those ideas where it actually preceded things like MySpace and Facebook.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So he was onto something. He saw the horizon. He saw that social networking could be a big thing. It's just that his approach, perhaps it wasn't the right approach. Perhaps it didn't come at the right time. It might have been some sort of combination of these and other factors as well. At any rate, it did not take off like a MySpace or later on a Facebook.
No, that's true. And it's also interesting to note that none of the companies that he had, started before, and there are conflicting reports about the number of companies that he was starting and or involved with.
Right.
There are a handful like, the ones that we've mentioned. Apparently, too, he has been quoted as saying that there were far more failures than successes, too. So he may have been involved with more of them, but they're not gaming companies. We're not talking about somebody like, you know, Trip Hawkins.
Yeah,
who's known for being a founder of EA.
Right.
And, got into digital chocolate later. He wasn't known as a gaming industry giant who started a new kind of gaming company. This is his first gaming foray. And there's also some mild controversy about the name. Zynga, he has been quoted as saying, is named after his dearly departed puppy dog.
Yeah, bulldog.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another story that I read on a totally different article, which said that he had a friend who used the online handle Muzzinga. Often people would just refer to him as Zynga, and that he had named his dog after this person. But that's
just sort of the same story, but only different.
A little bit more of tracing it back. Like, where does it end? But anyway, he called the company Zynga. He hired on some folks like, Eric Schiermeier, Michael Luxton, Justin Waldron, Kyle Stewart, Scott Dale, Kevin Hagen, Steve Shuttler, and Andrew Trader. And he had these guys together, and his idea was to create these simple, easy to learn, easy to play games, because he kind of equated it to going to a cocktail party and hanging out and just chatting for a while. You know, it's a pleasant experience. You don't tend to have super deep conversations at a cocktail party unless you're going to a cocktail party held by nuclear physicists. But in general, you tend to talk about a lot of different things and you don't get too far down into the surface, but you can have an entertaining conversation. Sort of the same thing he wanted to do with these games. Like, he saw the games that other companies were making that were these very deep, rich experiences. Lots of work developing the world and the physics or the game mechanics. And he said, well, you know, that there is a place for that. But what if we concentrated on games that were meant for a more casual player, someone who, you know, enjoys the game mechanics, the gameplay is fun and has some sort of reward system in place so that the player feels like they should keep playing. But it doesn't need to be as deep and it doesn't have to exist on its own. It doesn't have to be like, you don't have to go to a store and buy a box that has a disc in it and bring it home and install it. Mm-hmm. It's something that could exist on top of another existing platform, whether that's a web page or a social network, as it would turn out later, or a mobile device.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the earliest maneuvers that I think set Zynga apart from its competitors was it launched games on MySpace.
Yes.
Because that was, you know, the network of choice, but it also it was hedging its bets on the new competitor, Facebook.
Yeah. Yeah, back in 2007, it's easy for us to forget now.
Facebook has beaten a billion subscribers.
Right. Facebook is now over 1 billion active subscribers.
Or accounts. I'm betting that some of those people have multiple accounts.
Probably.
Just a guess. Yeah, right. But still, that's a lot of accounts.
Over 500 million people have accounts on Facebook. Back in the day, you know, MySpace was dominating for the longest time, and Facebook was only open to college students. So for a while, a lot of people thought that Facebook was going to be an also-ran. It was never going to catch up. That, of course, is not what happened. And now we're in an era where MySpace is launching yet another redesign, a dramatic redesign, to see if they can emerge from the doldrums and perhaps become a player again. And it may very well happen. It's easy to write off MySpace after its precipitous fall, but we've seen companies rise and fall and rise again before. So, you know, you never say never. At any rate, like Chris was saying, Zynga, they were looking ahead and saying, you know, we want to make sure that what we're producing ends up getting to as many people as possible. And that means we can't assume that one platform is always going to be the way people access content online. And so they started to create games that would work on Facebook. And, you know, Facebook had a very limited API at the time. Like,
that's an application programming interface.
Right. So Facebook was not a platform for other programs early in its existence.
Yeah, not like it is now, certainly.
No, that eventually changed, and they did experiment with it fairly early, but it was, you know, it wasn't until fairly recently that it actually became a viable platform for a company to launch an app. But back in 2007, Zynga released a game on Facebook, and it was a social poker game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Free to play.
Texas Hold'em Poker?
Yep.
Okay, so Zynga did a very smart thing here because, you know, this is back when poker, which had been around for a very long time, you know, it was just sort of sitting there under the surface waiting to be rediscovered. And that's about when, you know, in the mid-2000s, that's when people were really getting back on board with
it. Which was really strange. I mean, it just seemed to come out of nowhere. Like, suddenly there was this huge focus on poker in general and Texas Hold'em in particular.
Particular, yes.
ESPN started showing it and you thought, wow, this has become a sport? And, you know, there was a lot of interest. I mean, I've watched my share of World Series of Poker tournaments, and it is a very fascinating thing. And it's, you know, even by 2007, that fervor had not really died down. I would say that perhaps today there's not quite as much interest in it as there used to be. I mean, we used to see like celebrity poker tournaments and things on television all the time, but there's still an interest there.
Yeah.
And so Zynga said, well, you know, let's produce a game that is on a social network that's getting a lot of attention, and let's do it a game that's actually popular in the in the zeitgeist at this moment. Let's combine these things, mm-hmm. and we're going to try and capitalize on it. And it worked.
Yeah, the it's kind of interesting too, because this is where social gaming is now a pretty big thing, and so is casual gaming. Again, it's sort of like poker. These things. Well, social gaming, no, but casual gaming has been around for forever and ever, you know? But the thing is, it wasn't the big money maker that it is now, and it is thanks in part to companies like Zynga, who found ways to get people back involved with it. You know, you play, let's say you play a game on a social game, a casual game on a, online somewhere. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you've played it, and, you know, after a couple of weeks, you know, the interest kind of wanes.
Yeah.
You know, I played it. I love that game, and you'll come back to it again in the future, maybe, but you know, it's, you get away from it because you lose track of, you know, you have something you got to do on Tuesday night. No, well, Wednesday night's kind of packed too. And after a couple of weeks, you go, I just don't feel like going back.
Right.
But Zynga introduced the concept of adding poker chips to this game. But, this is one of those things that Zynga has developed a reputation for. Acting in sort of weird ways on this Hold'em poker game, they had a thing where you could add more friends. You know, they wanted you to get poker chips, and if you would help them download by downloading this wiki tool,
impossible to take out.
Yeah,
this was one of those things where actually this would come back to haunt Pincus later, where he essentially said in a later interview that he made every horrible decision you could make in order to make money.
Yeah.
He was trying to find different ways to generate revenue, and it didn't matter what impact it would have on the user experience. That's how people have interpreted those words. Now, whether Pincus really meant truly that he tried every horrible thing or not doesn't really matter, because as people in later years said, you know, they just went ahead and interpreted it as that. And
sure,
that became the reality, which is kind of, you know, just says, be careful what you say.
Yeah.
Because later on, even if you're saying something and you're exaggerating in order to make a point, people may later take that exaggeration as the gospel truth.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah.
And whether or not it was, that's how it's been interpreted. So yeah, Pincus said, we tried all these different things. And if you downloaded this wiki, the idea was that you would download this tool, and it would, in the game, you would end up being rewarded with more poker chips.
Mm-hmm.
But again, it was a negative experience for most users. And even Pincus said, like, I couldn't figure out how to remove this thing once I installed it.
Mm-hmm.
So, there were other ways of trying to generate revenue. And in fact, the game was profitable for Zynga. They ended up raising some money. It wasn't a whole lot in the grand scheme of things, but it was important to Pincus that they show that the company was capable of generating revenue before he went out to seek a round of funding.
Yes.
He didn't want to go out and hit venture capitalists without first being able to say, look, I can prove to you that what we're doing has a place in this market. This company has a demonstrable value because we're able to make money. Otherwise, you're just going up to capitalists and saying, hey, look, this game is really popular. A lot of people are playing it. You should give me money. Like, until you can prove,
give me money.
Yeah, until you can prove that all those people are generating revenue for you, it's really hard to get the investors on board. I mean, Twitter has seen this for years since Twitter started. They had a lot of users, but for the longest time, there was really no revenue generating operation there. I mean, there was just very little, if any, mm-hmm. and so. You know, essentially the way to convince venture capitalists to invest in something like Twitter is to say, it's a huge, huge service. Millions of people are using it and depending upon it. The gap that it would leave if it went away is enormous. Therefore, it is valuable. All we have to do is figure out the way of tapping into that value.
Mm-hmm.
And that's enough for some investors. But Pincus was like, no, I want to make sure that I have a good story to tell when I go and visit these venture capitalists. And he did. And so in 2007, he actually had the first round of venture capital and was able to get investments then. He was also Well, back in January of 2008, because it was late 2007 when he started pursuing it, in January 2008, they raised about $5 million from various venture capital funds. And then 6 months later, they did a second round of fundraising and raised another $29 million. And at that point, they also hired on someone as a sort of consultant named Bing Gordon, who was a former chief creative officer with Electronic Arts. So here is someone who has had experience with a major video game company coming on board with Zynga. The title most often given to Mr. Gordon is consigliere, which for those of you who are fans of the Godfather trilogy will think, wow. So some sort of quote unquote family consultant has joined on.
Well, it's kind of funny since Mafia Wars was the big cross-platform hit for Zynga at that point.
Yes.
So there, which that may or may not be related.
Yeah, and it, yeah.
This also, is the acquisition of Yovil, which is still, you know, moving along out there. They have continued to support that game.
Now, Mafia Wars raises one of the big stories within Zynga, which is something that would haunt them for years, the few short years that have existed between when Mafia Wars has come out and today. But one of the issues about Mafia Wars was that people pointed out there was an earlier game called Mob Wars, which Mafia Wars bore a certain similarity to Mob Wars. Some would say to the point of identity.
This is another one of those points which the Zynga detractors like to make.
Yeah.
Which is, and it's not completely unwarranted.
Yeah, that Zynga.
I will neither say that it is or isn't warranted.
Right.
I will just say that many of Zynga's games bear a striking resemblance to other
games.
Popular, successful social network games.
And there are.
This was the first real.
Right. And there have been people from Zynga, like former employees, who have said that the message essentially, according to these former employees, was that find games out there that work, copy them, and do whatever you have to do to be as popular or more popular than the previous game. Now, whether or not that was actually a directive within Zynga, I cannot say. This may very well be the words of employees who have, an axe to grind against the company, and they're saying whatever they want to kind of disparage it. I don't know. I don't want to pass judgment, seeing as how I don't have that direct experience. But there have been people who have essentially accused Zynga, former employees who have accused Zynga, of purposefully setting out to copy other games and to use the popularity of Zynga and its broad reach to essentially co-opt those games from the original creators.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with the case of Mob Wars and Mafia Wars, there's some more murky issues there. The Zynga executives were saying things along the lines of, you know, we were in talks of actually acquiring Mob Wars, but then the guy who designed Mob Wars learned about how Zynga was going into selling virtual goods in order to generate revenue. Here's another way of generating revenue with a free-to-play game.
Mm-hmm.
So besides convincing you to download tools that you will never get rid of as a way of generating revenue by making a partnership with whomever is creating the tool, another way is to sell virtual goods that give you some sort of edge or some sort of customization ability within a virtual game for real money. And once the guy from Mob Wars saw that, then he began to incorporate those same features within Mob Wars. So Zynga has said, wait, no, the guy from Mob Wars was copying us. So yes, our game is also about mafia warfare, but our game was built around this idea of selling virtual goods. His wasn't until he heard about it from us.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this sort of, there's this crossfire of accusations between the two groups, right?
Yes.
But in the end, you have Mafia Wars coming out, and there were lawsuits about, you know, infringing copyright and infringing intellectual property. And this was not the one and only time this happened to Zynga. This happened, you know, in other with other games as well, including one that one of the more popular games that Zynga pushed out was Farmville. And there was another farm-based game that, again, people said this bears a certain resemblance to this other game.
Mm-hmm.
And again, there are conflicting reports about whether or not the people at Zynga were aware of that game, whether they were purposefully trying to copy it, or if this was just a parallel development issue. And again, we don't have the whole story.
Right. One report suggests that one of the venture capital fund managers had said, or I guess the people at the venture capital firm had said, you know, why don't you do a farm game?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's very difficult to tell. You know, there are a lot of stories that fly around when you have this kind of corporate drama going on.
Right.
Certainly Farmville is another one of those games that, you know, came out at the same, you know, time frame a little later than another very popular farm game. So, you know, it's easy to make that comparison.
Yeah. And also this is the time where if you were on Facebook during this time, you began to get irritated if you were not a fan of these games at the numerous notifications you would receive whenever your friends were raising sheep or planting corn, and you had learned that their field of corn needed watering or whatever. Yeah. Okay. Enough. Anyway. So yeah, this was a time where people who were not fans of this game became haters of the games because their Facebook notifications were starting to fill up with these game notifications,
yeah.
Which you could hide. And many of us chose that option immediately.
Running a business is no cakewalk. There is a ton to keep track of. Employees to keep happy, spending to control, travel to plan, and on top of it all, nobody knows exactly what the future holds. Your finance team always has to be ready to change. But with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is, experience. And you can finally say goodbye to the costly mistakes and risks that come from manual work and spreadsheets. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. I'm excited to announce a new season of my podcast, Math and Magic, Stories from the Frontiers of Marketing. Our guests this season remind us to embrace change and fearlessly look toward the future. Like Andrew Jarecki, award-winning filmmaker and creator of Movie Phone.
The studios didn't really control the theaters didn't control the studios. And I thought, well, there's a window in here where I could make things easier for the consumer and also make something that would be very useful for the industry.
Or Kellen Kenny, Chief Marketing and Growth Officer at AT&T, who installed fiber in customers' houses rather than leading from afar.
It is so crucial that you spend time with the customers. That is the best lesson.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to a brand new season of Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. On Purpose's mission is to create impactful conversations to help you become happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Tiffany Haddish in a hilarious, deep, thoughtful interview where we dive into family trauma, grief, sobriety, love, and dating. You'll be laughing, crying, and have so many impactful takeaways after this interview.
I had this, like, you know, homie lover friend for a long time. He's very disrespectful to me, very kind of messed up to me. But in my mind, we could get married. We had the most beautiful babies. He handsome. I'm pretty. Like, it would be so cool. He's smart and intellectual. I'm kind of smart, I think. Like, it would be fun. We have the best conversations. Like, we have fun, but then he would treat me like crap.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss this one.
Well, you know, many people have talked about Mark Zuckerberg, the founder of Facebook, and whether or not he sees everybody's, you know, personal privacy, or, you know, everybody wants to have these connections to your friends and, you know, these questions. Well, Mark Pincus is another person who basically says, you know, hey, playing games is fun when you do it socially. So yeah. The Zynga games, from when I first became aware of them, at least, which is, I would guess Farmville. I think I became familiar with Mafia Wars afterward. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's one of the very first things you do. And, you know, I wanted to try it out, see what it was all about. And one of the very first things they ask you to do when it comes on is, hey, what other friends? And they look at your Facebook list of friends. You know, they made it possible to look at just the ones that are playing the game. But for the most part, they say, hey, who in this entire list of friends wants a free bale of hay?
Yeah. Or what, you know, wouldn't these people really like to play? And, you know, your playing experience will be much better the more mm-hmm. friends you have playing it. And, you know, there is something about social gaming. I don't mean to disparage social gaming at all.
No.
I mean, there are plenty of social games out there that I think are lots of fun, particularly if you have a lot of friends who are also into that game. And then there are games out there that if you're the only one playing, they aren't fun at all. You know, you need other people playing that game to make it worthwhile.
I would argue that with my experiences with Zynga titles, that's very much the case with a lot of these Ville games.
Yeah.
You didn't see the dash right before the
right,
Ville.
But yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you, there's an option. This is another one of Zynga's, where they've been on the forefront of this movement is, hey, you don't have to, if you don't want to share this with 50 of your friends, that's fine. You can pay up real money if you'd like to have in-game money. That would be just fine with us.
Right. So again, we're getting over to that virtual goods for real money. And yeah. In fact, that became the chief way that Zynga made money for a long time. Like 95% of the revenue that Zynga made came from selling virtual goods. And of course, with that model, you want as many people as possible playing your game. Now, the game itself is free. So just because you have 500,000 people playing a game doesn't mean you're making money off of them. But even if only a small percentage of that 500 million are ponying up real cash for virtual goods, that's a lot of money. I mean, when you're talking about huge numbers like that, even a small percentage can be a significant amount of cash. And that's also why Zynga released so many games. It wasn't like, you know, a game company that might have one or two titles, maybe as many as six titles in a year. They're releasing games all the time. And Pincus is not afraid to pull the plug on a game if he sees that it's not really working. He's killed off games early on in the process when he said, okay, no one is really sharing this among this test group. That tells me that this is not a very sticky game. Sticky meaning that this is the sort of thing that people like to go back to and they like to share it. Once he saw that, he said, all right, let's get rid of that because we shouldn't be dedicating any resources to something that's not getting results. Now, this also meant that people who worked for Zynga might be working on a project that ultimately could get the plug pulled on it shortly after launch. And you had such a quick turnaround rate that you were always working. That working for Zynga could be a very demanding experience. And in fact, I looked at the at some surveys online about employee reaction to working for Zynga, and 51% of the people who worked there said that they would recommend Zynga to a friend who was looking for employment. So just over half would say Zynga is a good place to work. And
when was that study?
The latest I saw was for 2012, but that could have been early 2012, because we're going to get into Zynga's more recent experience in a little bit. But yeah. The other thing was that 59% said they thought that Pincus was doing a good job as CEO of Zynga. So that means 41% were either not impressed or actively they did not like what he's doing.
Yeah. Well, if you look at it strictly as a business model, the games themselves are brilliant, because not only are they social games, they encourage you to add friends and play with your Facebook friends. But in addition to that, they want you to, you know, spend a few real life dollars in there as well. I mean, you can play without spending any real cash. And in fact, I have never spent a cent on any of the games. However, I can tell you that playing it with no or few friends without spending cash makes them maddeningly slow and difficult to achieve anything. They like to encourage you to buy a special building or a specific decoration for your castle / farm / city / whatever.
Mafia.
Yeah. You can maybe have your friends give you one, or you could, you know, spend $5 and earn enough in-game cash to do that. Or maybe you're building something, a large building in your world. And, you know, if you just fork over a few dollars, it'll happen that much faster. And it makes more in-game money than anything else. And the thing is, all of a sudden you've encouraged your friends to start playing, and they're all spending, $5, $10 of their money. And so on.
Yeah.
And so
it's
a brilliant business model if you can get enough people to do it.
And also they pointed out that once they get this network in place, they don't have to win over everyone who's playing every time. Because if they get just a few, if I have a lot of friends playing games on Zynga and then a few of them start playing a new game, that may tempt me to try out the new game as well. And so the idea is that once you get that big net of users, that network of users, then you've got enough seeds planted, Farmville or otherwise, to try and convince more people to try out new games as you release them. So even when you get tired of an old game, a new game might come along and you want to play that. And that did work for a while. In fact, when that article that we were citing earlier, the VentureBeat article, when that was written back in 2011, Zynga was on the rise. I mean, they were doing really, really well. They held an IPO, and that IPO, their stock was originally...
That's initial public offering.
Yes, initial public offering. Thank you. They held that back in December 2011, so at the end of 2011. They have this IPO, and originally their stock was priced at $10. By March 2012, that price had gone up to $14.50 per share. So the stock was increasing in value. But some stuff has happened since then. One of those things is a pretty spectacular deal that Zynga made with another company called OMG Pop.
Yeah.
Which created a little game called Draw Something.
Yes.
Now, Draw Something was incredibly popular. Shortly after it came out, that's pretty much what I heard all of my friends in the tech industry. That's all I heard from them. On their Twitter feeds and everything, they talked about Draw Something and how fun it was. And it did have a pretty incredible adoption rate. And
oh yeah, it was soaring. They were the sudden darling of the mobile and online gaming, casual gaming thing, because basically it was a drawing game where the your opponent wasn't actually your opponent. They were actually working with you.
Yeah, it's Pictionary.
Essentially.
Yeah. So the game was incredibly popular, and so Zynga looked at that and said, well, we should take advantage of this. We should use this capital that we've raised through the IPO and just through our revenues and everything else and purchase this company, because it would be a very valuable asset in our repertoire. And so they did for around $180 million.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem was that they bought that company just before it hit its peak in adoption. And then shortly thereafter, people began to lose interest in the game through no fault of the game. This is just the way we work as human beings. Like, we find something new and fun and we go crazy about it. And then after we get used to it for a while, we just stop thinking about it so much and we don't use it as much. The same thing is true, very true, with a lot of casual games. In fact, Zynga's seen that over its history, and that's one of the reasons why Zynga releases these games so frequently. It's because you can't just release a game, even if you created a truly amazing game, like something that someone would play and there'd be nothing but praise said about that game. It has a shelf life.
Yeah.
You know, and you might have the long tail experience where you've got people who are finding the game late and adopting it late, but it's never going to be as many or as intense as that early era when people first discover it. Well, same thing happened with Draw Something. And so even though it was this phenomenal success at the time when Zynga was looking into buying it, shortly thereafter, people stopped playing it, or at least huge numbers of people stopped playing it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it suddenly looked like Zynga had paid way too much money for a company. Like, they had seriously overvalued OMG Pop when they acquired it.
Running a business is no cakewalk. There is a ton to keep track of. Employees to keep happy, spending to control, travel to plan, and on top of it all, nobody knows exactly what the future holds. Your finance team always has to be ready to change. But with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is, experience. And you can finally say goodbye to the costly mistakes and risks that come from manual work and spreadsheets. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. I'm excited to announce a new season of my podcast, Math and Magic, Stories from the Frontiers of Marketing. Our guests this season remind us to embrace change and fearlessly look toward the future. Like Andrew Jarecki, award-winning filmmaker and creator of Movie Phone.
The studios didn't really control the theaters didn't control the studios. And I thought, well, there's a window in here where I could make things easier for the consumer and also make something that would be very useful for the industry.
Or Kellen Kenny, Chief Marketing and Growth Officer at AT&T, who installed fiber in customers' houses rather than leading from afar.
It is so crucial that you spend time with the customers. That is the best lesson.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to a brand new season of Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of On Purpose. On Purpose's mission is to create impactful conversations to help you become happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Tiffany Haddish in a hilarious, deep, thoughtful interview where we dive into family trauma, grief, sobriety, love, and dating. You'll be laughing, crying, and have so many impactful takeaways after this interview.
I had this, like, you know, homie lover friend for a long time. He's very disrespectful to me, very kind of messed up to me. But in my mind, we could get married. We had the most beautiful babies. He handsome. I'm pretty. Like, it would be so cool. He's smart and intellectual. I'm kind of smart, I think. Like, it would be fun. We have the best conversations. Like, we have fun, but then he would treat me like crap.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss this one.
That's not the only company that Zynga has acquired. They've acquired other companies as well in their quest to succeed as a company. And in other cases, it's kind of similar. In fact, there were times where Zynga was looking at things like PopCap Games.
Mm-hmm.
That was not bought by Zynga. There was another company that swept that up.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, Zynga reportedly made a bigger offer for the indie legend, gaming legend PopCap than Electronic Arts,
right,
the eventual winner, did. But they actually turned it down. And of course, now they have gone. By the way, the PopCap is known for titles like Bejeweled,
yep,
Plants vs. Zombies,
yep,
Zuma.
Yep.
And, you know, they had made the move from being a computer-based developer to the mobile world. You know, also to, also to the social gaming sites, you know, Facebook. They've, you know, Bejeweled Blitz and Zuma Blitz are among the largest, most durable titles that I've seen, you know, come and go on the Facebook platform. And, you know, it was certainly one of those companies that had proven its ability to create new titles, unlike some other people. You know, there was definitely something there. And, despite the bidding war, and the apparent, according to reports, winner, being Zynga, they decided to go with EA. Now, why did they decide to go with EA? That's a matter of some debate. It's sort of unclear.
Yeah.
They haven't said specifically. But rumors, of course, spread when something like that happens. And they said, well, you know, maybe there's something there.
Yeah, maybe there's some sort of personal conflict, or maybe they knew something about Zynga. Or,
we know?
At any rate, Zynga in 2012 hit its peak and then dropped. The stock price dropped, the adoption rate for the games dropped, things just turned for the worse in every way, really, for Zynga, to the point where I think the lowest price so far as of the recording of this podcast was $2.31 a share. Now remember, it launched at $10 a share and hit a peak of $14.50 a share earlier this year. You know, it hasn't even been a whole year since that happened. And, as of the recording of this podcast, we're recording on October 12th, and this morning before the market opened, the price was at $2.43 a share.
It has dropped since we started recording this podcast to $2.42 a share.
Yeah. So,
and that's actually up. It had gone down a penny or two below that.
Oh, okay. So it's, yeah. No, granted, moment by moment, this value changes. So it's, you know, you always have to take that with a grain of salt, but
$2.41.
I've heard a lot of, you know, I was looking into a lot of projections.
242. Okay, I'll stop.
I was looking into a lot of projections, and most of them had the stock price valued at around $3 for the next 12 months or so. Now granted, it took less than 12 months for it to go from 1450 to 231, but you know, that's sort of the projections by a lot of analysts right now.
Yes.
And part of that is because there seems to be a decreasing tendency for people to play social games on or games at all on social networks. There was a survey done in 2010 that found that the 56% of students who were surveyed in this study said they planned on playing fewer social games in the next year. And so that, you know, more than half of the students were saying, I don't think I'm going to be playing as much. It's just not for me. That was back in 2010.
Yeah.
So if that trend is more widespread than just among students, then that would suggest that perhaps, you know, social gaming was one of those early distractions that was very, you know, had a big impact when it first came out, but it's becoming increasingly difficult to replicate that in the social gaming world. Mm-hmm. That's not to say that someone's not going to come around and create a game that just knocks everybody's socks off. It may very well happen today or tomorrow or, you know, a year from now, but the trend is a decreasing interest in social games and the online platform. Part of that might be made up for mobile. I mean, you could, you know, if these companies are able to really concentrate on the mobile experience, they might be able to recapture that because mobile's still a very popular platform. In fact, it's, you know, increasingly popular. So that might be a way that Zynga can turn things around. And there are a lot of other ways. I mean, I'm not a businessman by any stretch of the imagination. So, while Zynga's plight looks great indeed to my eyes, it doesn't mean that Pinkus and team can't turn it around, or perhaps, you know, maybe some other company will come in and purchase Zynga. I've seen some speculation about Facebook, although at this point I'm wondering if Facebook would look at Zynga and say, this looks like it's something that we would have wanted 4 years ago, but not now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's certainly a lot of intellectual property to be had there.
And which often is under some contention as to whether or not it truly belongs to Zynga. But yes, go ahead.
Yeah. No. And that's, you know, this is where we get into that hazy, well, you know, it's a farm game. So, you know, who, you know, is this sufficiently different enough from that one? No, that's true. But, you know, of course, there are some more original titles. And, you know, I think it's possible that, that may happen. Although, you know, when I happened to go look at the stock price just a moment ago, there is also news, again, as of the time we're starting this podcast, that, Mark Pincus is suggesting he wants to take the company private again.
Wow.
So.
Yeah,
who knows?
There was something else. I didn't mention this when we were talking about it, but I did. There was another part of that VentureBeat article that was kind of interesting about how, the company had made, some money back in 2008. The revenue for Zynga was around $19.4 million. Mm-hmm. But because it was a private company, it didn't have to release the fact that their cost or that their losses amounted to $22.1 million for the year, meaning mm-hmm. that their costs far outweighed their revenue. But it was a private company, so there was no requirement for them to release that information. But as a publicly traded company, you have to do that. So
yes.
When things are bad, you can't cover it up. You know, you can try and obfuscate it with language when you're doing your press conference and talk about the opportunity you have. Mm-hmm. If you hear the word opportunity said a lot, that can sometimes be a red flag.
Yes, it is.
I'm not saying it's the red flag in every case. So if you just recently heard the word opportunity at your, all hands meeting, that does not necessarily mean you need to panic, but it's sometimes one of those little words that can indicate that there's, less than positive things going on the business side.
Right. They're not problems. They're opportunities.
Well, you have to think of it that way, right?
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
if you don't think of it that way, then not only is morale an issue, but you actually do start to sabotage yourself in turning things around. So not to really put down anyone who tries to look at things as opportunities. I actually think that's a pretty positive way to go about it, as long as you're being genuine, right? I mean, if you're being insincere in calling it an opportunity, that's a problem.
Yeah.
But if you look at it and say, all right, this message that I'm getting here says we're not doing as good a job as we need to. What do we need to do to change to do as good a job? There have been some suggestions that Zynga should cut costs by perhaps laying off employees and consolidating departments. One of the flip sides to that is if you start cutting costs, then you're also cutting into the resources you have to develop new games.
Right.
So you're actually making it harder on yourself to create the product that will help make the money that you need to make in order to become profitable again or to turn things around. So it becomes this kind of domino effect, right? You start to cut costs. You start to lay people off. You start to consolidate departments. It becomes harder for you to make a good game. because it's harder for you to make a good game, fewer people are following you. And so it just, you know, continues until your company crumbles away.
Yeah.
So it's a really challenging thing. And I don't have all the answers because, you know, it's easy to say, no, keep everybody, make good stuff. Like, yeah, that's the kind of leadership that doesn't get you anywhere. That's, that would be my leadership style. Yeah. Kind of like Homer Simpson. Are you guys working? Yes. Could you work harder? I guess so. Okay. Do that. Yeah. That's kind of my leadership style, which is why I'm a senior writer.
All right, then.
Well, I guess that kind of wraps up where Zynga is right now. And again, this is a company that's had a real roller coaster story, and some of it's a little shady and some of it's a little, on the level of could this be creating yet another bubble within the tech industry?
It's business.
It's business. Yeah. And it, just like any other business venture, you cannot count out a company until it's gone. And even then, sometimes they come back. But so Zynga may turn things around. They might find the secret sauce needed to really get people invested in the company, both figuratively and literally. And, you know, maybe it'll happen. But it could very well be that this might serve just as a warning to other people who want to launch their own companies. You can see some really great success early on if you're doing, you know, if you're hitting all the right beats. But sometimes that's short-term success, and it'll come at the cost of a long-term success.
Yes.
Well, we'll wrap that up here. If you guys have any suggestions for future episodes of Tech Stuff, why don't you send us a little note? You can do that via email. Our address is techstuff@discovery.com, or send us a message on Facebook or Twitter. You can find us there with the handle TechStuffHSW. And Chris and I will talk to you again really soon.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com.
Running a business is no cakewalk, but with SAP Concur Solutions, you can be ready for anything. You can manage travel, expenses, and AP all on one platform that's packed with AI and best practices, and that delivers it all through an easy, clear, I can't believe how simple that is, experience. So, while not much can be done about that guy who never fails to burn the microwave popcorn and stink up the entire office, with SAP Concur, you can easily handle almost anything else. Take control of your business finances today at concur.com. That's concur.com.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedatum. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, acclaimed comics writer and notorious Scott Summers hater, Rosie Knight.
Well, hello, Emmy-winning podcaster and totally unbiased Targaryen royal supporter, Jason Concepcion.
Somehow the X-Ray Vision podcast has returned.
And like always, we'll be here every week.
You'll hear from TV writers, actors, comics creators, pop culture critics.
Nothing is off the table.
Listen to X-Ray Vision on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey parents, looking for something fun to listen to in the car with your kids? Blippi and Mika have a brand new podcast, Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. Each week, the Blippi Mobile will take your kids to amazing places. Your kids will learn awesome new things about the places and things they see and hear. It's a fun, interactive listening experience for the whole family. Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.